Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism Versus Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our statist enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism Versus Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org. Hey, I'm Scott. Welcome back. It's my show. Next up is J.P. Sotilli, the News Vandal. Newsvandal.com, that's his site. Here he is writing at consortiumnews.com. Neocons make Rubio their favorite. Really great article. We're running it today on antiwar.com as well. Welcome back to the show, J.P. How you doing, man?
Oh, good to be with you. It's, you know, great that these guys always come up with a new project. I call this the project to elect a new American centurion because, you know, Marco Rubio, he's all about truth and political advertising, which does set him apart from most political advertising. Marco Rubio, a new American century. Doesn't it just have a familiar ring to it, Scott?
It sure does. It sounds absolutely horrifying. And you're right. He is absolutely honest, wears it on his sleeve, says Hillary and Obama's war in Libya only failed in the degree to which it wasn't big enough. Should have invaded and stayed.
And also criticizing Republicans within his own party for not being forceful and belligerent enough about creating that vacuum in Libya and then going in and filling it, I assume, with nation-building U.S. troops. I mean, this is kind of the rift that's going on inside the Republican Party, which is so fascinating, mm-hmm. is that Rubio is positioning himself or being positioned or a combination of the two things to be the chief establishment alternative to Trump. And Trump, who Reason pointed out, has sort of a hyper-belligerent isolationism, a sort of a militaristic isolationism. But Trump has been decidedly against putting U.S. troops on the ground, invading 10,000-strong force that Lindsey Graham wants into Syria, and has criticized the vacuums created by Obama and Hillary's intervention. I'm calling it Obama and Hillary, their intervention in Libya, and, of course, the great neocon success, the great neocon achievement, the toppling of Saddam Hussein.
Well, and their, you know, toppling of the Ba'athist power over about half of the landmass of Syria too.
Yeah. Well,
for that matter.
I mean, you were talking about Cy Hirsch earlier in your show.
Oh yeah.
And I just keep coming back to the piece that ran. Last spring. About the rat line of weapons coming out of Benghazi from the fallen regime of Gaddafi in through Turkey into Syria. And, you know, the United States, why was the CIA annexed there in Benghazi? Was it because they were monitoring weapons shipments? But, you know, we don't want to talk about Cy Hirsch's reporting. We just kind of forget about that and write that off.
Right. Well, and, you know, Judicial Watch has the documents now. The best work Judge Napolitano has ever done, and he's written a lot of great essays, but his stuff, he's done, you know, original journalism on those Judicial Watch documents and what all they show about Hillary hiring Qataris as her cutouts to help run the gun operation there in Libya, et cetera, like that, and knowing full well, conceding that it's illegal. That's why we're doing it this way, so it's deniable, and this kind of thing right there in it, so... no doubt about that. But so now wait, let's rewind back to the start of this article, and what it's really about here is Jeb's horrifying failure, horrifying from the point of view of Jeb and horrifying from the point of view of the power elite. Could anyone have predicted that he would be this horrible at running for president? He is just absolutely a dud. It's really something else. I mean, I've been saying, yeah, just wait till Jeb comes as kind of a cliche for the last 4 or 5 years. And now it's looking like, geez, I don't know. And I guess, you know, Bill Kristol and all them, maybe they're the proof that Jeb is still in it if they've given up on him. But the neocons have decided on Rubio, which just goes to prove again, how completely idiotic they are if they think that Rubio is ever going to take off and become a popular candidate among the American people. He's just not. And especially among Republicans, when he's got a vowel at the end of his name. He's Hispanic, for Christ's sake. The only thing they like about Trump is that he hates Mexicans. And they're going to nominate a guy named Rubio? I mean, anybody who thinks that is stupid. Or they're so caught up in political correctness that they can't even identify their neighbors as bigots when they are. For Christ's sake, Rubio and Cruz are Hispanic. They're not going anywhere in the Republican Party whatsoever. And the fact that Bill Kristol thinks so is the final proof. That's all you need. So, you know, we ought to be talking about Carson or whoever else, because it sure as hell is not this clown.
Well, I mean, this to me is the fascinating part of this. One, it's really about the litmus test, interventionist or isolationist, right? Rubio made a little bit of hay in the last debate, accusing Rand Paul of being an isolationist. And inside the Beltway, this is the ultimate litmus test on either side of the political spectrum. You know, you can't be called an isolationist within the Democratic Party either. By the way, Hillary giving her sweeping speech on the heels of Jeb's sweeping speech yesterday, Jeb saying he was going to rebuild the American military, which is something that Rubio has been saying he's going to do for a long time. Because, you know, you got to rebuild a military that outspends the other the next 10 countries combined. You got to rebuild that. Always got to rebuild. Hillary today ramping up the rhetoric saying, you know, we need to have more troops, but I don't really want to have an invasion a la Lindsey Graham into Syria. So everybody's sort of picking up on this interventionist meme, right, which is there. And if you are against intervention in any way, shape or form, you get blacklisted inside the Beltway. And I think inside this bubble, Scott, they're looking at Rubio and they're saying, well, you know, he kind of hits all the marks. He's young. The tech industry likes him. He's a fresh face. Maybe he can get Hispanics. Oh, and by the way, he has his own plan to rebuild America's military to the tune of $1 trillion over the next 6 to 10 years, in addition to the $1 trillion plus in defense-related spending that the United States already spends, which is apparently not enough, particularly according to Max, don't call me Jack Boot, over in commentary, who says we do not have a serious defense budget.
Right, which is great. I like the nickname, and what a clown that guy is. And I mean, what a great job he does of setting the standard, the, you know, putting down the mark of this is what us idiot neocons believe.
Well, you know, Scott, I do put out this thing called The Rundown 5 days a week.
And I read it every morning.
I go to a lot of different sources, and I force myself to go to commentary every day.
Oh, man.
What they're saying, and you look at – at Max Boot and Noah Rothman, and the hysteria of it is amazing. And I think this is one of the things that I find fascinating about the entire Rubio candidacy, because circa 2006, when the Project for a New American Century finally pulled the plug, that's when the war in Iraq was finally going very badly. Public opinion was going the other direction, and the neocon agenda seemed to be in retreat. And, you know, they went back to the American Enterprise Institute. They went to the Weekly Standard. They went to commentary. They penned their little petulant columns, and they've been kind of biding their time. But not really, because I think all along they felt, look, if Jeb is obviously the best way into the executive branch again, at least that's what they identified. Jeb wins. His foreign policy team is made up of Wolfowitz and company. We'll get right back in. We'll pull the plug on the Iran deal somehow, maybe by putting in additional sanctions and trying to derail that. And really, you know who they're really after? You know who they really, really, really don't like? It's Putin. It's Russia. It's the Cold War. I mean, they don't like Iran, and they'd like destabilizing the Middle East, but I'll tell you, they really, really want to lay down the law with Putin. And of course, Rubio says if he is elected, he will treat Putin like a gangster.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, just for the quotes, if people look at Trevor Timm's recent piece at The Guardian, not to take away from what you've written here, JP, but at piece of The Guardian, he has these, you know, extended block quote after block quote after block quote of all the different Republican candidates on their complete Russia insanity. I'd encourage people to go look at that. Republican presidential candidates would jump straight into war with Russia, he says. We'll be right back in just one sec, JP, and everybody with JP in just a sec. Hey, I'll Scott Horton here for MPV Engineering. This isn't for all of you, but for high-end contractors specializing in industrial construction and end users who own and operate industrial equipment. MPV offers licensed professional consulting on chemical and mechanical engineering for your projects. Tanks, pressure vessels, piping, heat exchangers, HVAC equipment, chemical reactors for oil companies or manufacturing facilities, as well as project management support and troubleshooting for those implementing designs. MPV will get your industrial project up and running. Head over to MPVEngineering.com. All right, you guys. Welcome back to the show. It's my hilarious show, the Scott Horton Show. I'm talking with J.P. Sotilli. Man, you got to read this article. It's really great. It's at consortiumnews.com. Neocons make Rubio their favorite. And come on, brain, help me out. We're running this today at antiwar.com, right? Yeah, today at antiwar.com. You can find the link. This clown, Marco Rubio, who couldn't tell you the difference between Sunni and Shia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, the Islamic State, his ass from his elbow, or a hole in the ground. And, who's even a worse warmonger than Rand Paul, if you could believe that. JP, so, you were saying at the break there that, you know, these neocons, yeah, sure they hate Iran, but who they really hate is Vladimir Putin in the Kremlin in Moscow, and that if Jeb or any of these right-wing clowns become the president, then surely we're doomed as they all come straight back to power. But so then, of course, well, you can say whatever you want, or you could answer my question along the lines of how much better off are we stuck with Hillary Clinton, Victoria Nuland, Robert Kagan's wife's best friend, the lady who put her in charge?
Well, and as you probably remember, I wrote about the agricultural interests who were salivating over getting into and exploiting what used to be the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. That would be the fertile black soil of Ukraine.
Now, wait a minute. And tell me again the title of that article, because I really want people to go back and look at that.
Well, I can't remember what the title was on Consortium News. It was the corporate interests behind Ukraine putsch.
That's how
Bob Perry, the great Bob Perry, Robert Perry, I'm telling you, Consortium News, that guy is something else. One of the guys who broke Iran-Contra. But this, you know, it shows you how ossified the thinking is among the neocons, because they are still in many ways fighting the Cold War. I think in the 90s, they were sort of wandering around in the wilderness. Luckily for them, I guess you can put it, the Islamic fundamentalism that the United States, Saudi Arabia, the CIA developed to fight the Soviet Union ended up giving them the gift of the opportunity to continue to spread their idea of global hegemony, because that's really what this is about, right? Full spectrum dominance by the United States of the entire planet, all the way from microbes to space. They want to dominate everything militarily. But that, you know, the thing about Islamic fundamentalism is, as we've seen, you know, it flares up, but then it goes away. It flares up, goes away. Russia is always going to be there, and Russia has the one thing that makes them not as susceptible to full spectrum dominance as most other powers, and that's a massive nuclear arsenal. So, you know, one of the things that Iraq proved is that if you don't have WMDs, you are very likely to be targeted. If you have WMDs like North Korea, you can kind of stay there protected. You know, their thinking about Russia, I think, does trace all the way back to the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and the founding of the neocon movement. But, you know, here's the irony. What are the pass keys to dealing with the Islamic State? Iran and Russia. Go figure.
Right, of course. Well, that's why the U.S. has been on the side of the Mujahideen since 2007. As you mentioned before, that Hirsch piece, The Redirection. And that's another one at Consortium News, by the way, that's running right now, Lost on the Dark Side by Alistair Crook, which is great, about all the horrible ironies and who's fighting on whose side here.
But Scott, I want to mention something else too about this Rubio campaign that I think is really important. And the National Journal has done a lot of reporting on this, and there are three organizations that are trying to do something about it. Democracy 21 and the Campaign Legal Center and Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington Crew, they're all pointing out that Rubio's campaign is being funded and propelled by something called the Conservative Solutions Project. Again, these guys love projects, right? Project True New American Century, Conservative Solutions Project. Conservative Solutions Project is a 501c4 social welfare organization, according to the IRS. That means that their primary charter, right, to have this exemption, this nonprofit exemption, is that they are there to promote social welfare. What this also means is that all of their donors can remain secret. The amounts that the donors give can remain secret, unlike super PACs, right, where you can spend unlimited amounts and you can't coordinate with a campaign, but you can spend all the money you want, but you have to disclose. There's no disclosure on this 501c4 organization designation. Well, the interesting thing is that Conservative Solutions Project, which also has an agenda for American exceptionalism on their website, which sounds a heck of a lot like Marco Rubio's project to rebuild America's military. One thing they've been doing is spending a lot of money running ads for Marco Rubio. $3 million worth of ads touting Rubio's anti-Iranian stance, anti-Iran nuke deal stance over the summer. Another $3 million in ads showing Rubio at the Iowa State Fair. They're slated to spend, they've already purchased $2 million worth of ads. That's $8 million worth of ads total. And here's the language from the IRS. The promotion of social welfare does not include direct or indirect participation or intervention in political campaigns on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for public office. Huh, that's funny. Well, the spokesperson for the Conservative Solutions Project, a guy named Jeff Sadowski, he says, no, we're actually promoting social welfare. We're not just about promoting Marco Rubio. We have a couple other ways we're promoting other Republican candidates. But here's the funny thing. Jeff Sadowski does double duty as spokesperson for the Conservative Solutions PAC, which is the pro-Marco Rubio PAC, which also has raised money, $16 million, in addition to the $15 million that the project has raised. And he's doing double duty for both, even though neither of these things is supposed to be coordinating with Marco Rubio's campaign, but they seem to be because Marco Rubio's campaign hasn't had to spend much money because the project, which is a nonprofit social welfare organization, has been doing all of the ad buys, and Marco Rubio's official campaign has not had to spend any money practically at all.
And but so you do know, or it is public, who's given to the PAC, if not the project, right?
And that's right. So here's the thing. So you have the usual suspects, right? Sheldon Adelson is actually rumored to have given or is slated to give to the project. Now, that would not be disclosed. But all of the people who have been giving to the PAC are probably also giving to the project. And you've got, you know, Norman Brahman. He's a sort of an auto dealer magnate from Florida who has also been a champion of Rubio his entire career. And I believe Rubio's wife is employed part-time with Norman Brahman's family foundation. And then you got Paul Singer. Paul Singer, who publicly endorsed Rubio after the CNBC dumpster fire debate, he says he's going to give $10 million. Now, that's the public giving. What we don't know, because the project, which is all non-disclosed giving, has also raised close to $16 million. We don't know who gave to that. I mean, was it billionaire hedge fund political kingmaker Seth Klarman? Is it Home Depot founder Bernard Marcus? They've been pumping huge amounts of money into anti-Iran candidates over the last two election cycles. We don't know if they've given, but boy.
That sucks because I love that store, man, but now I got to go to Lowe's.
And then now you got to go to Lowe's. But so this is the thing. There's this subterfuged additional campaign, which, by the way, is illegal. And the amazing thing to me is that although you have these organizations petitioning the IRS for an investigation and National Journal doing the reporting, here is Rubio cruising along and nobody's pointing out in the mainstream media, surprise, surprise, the fact that he has this wholly illegal campaign promoting him.
But you know, JP, the part of this that bothers me the most is that people are just pissing this much money away. I mean, this is fortunes that could save the lives of dying people. Any of these guys have convinced themselves that they could possibly sell Marco Rubio to the American people. It's just amazing to me. I almost can't believe that anybody believes that. And I guess I could see them trying to run the Stop Rand front like they have anything to fear from him. But
Rand Paul, that is one of the great sort of anomalies. This seemed to be a great election cycle opportunity for him. He's running as Jeb Bush. He starts his campaign in front of a battleship. I mean, come on. You're not going to keep your libertarians. And I think this is the fascinating thing about Trump. Here you have a guy who's not running in the Sheldon Adelson primary, a guy who says he wants to work with Putin, and a guy who called both Bush and Rubio puppets. He is a strengthless candidate, and boy, has he upset the establishment's apple cart.
Yeah. All right, that's it. See y'all tomorrow. Thanks, JP. JP Sotillo, y'all.
Ciao.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here. Are you a libertarian and or peacenik? Live in North America? If you want, you can hire me to come and give a speech to your group. I'm good on the terror, war, and intervention, civil liberty stuff, blaming Woodrow Wilson for everything bad in the world, Iran, central banking, political realignment, and, well, you know, everything. I can teach markets to liberals and peace to the right. Just watch me. Check out scotthorton.org/speeches for some examples and email me scott@scotthorton.org for more information. See you there. Hey, y'all, Scott here. If you've got a band, a business, a cause, or campaign, and you need stickers to help promote, check out thebumpersticker.com at thebumpersticker.com. They digitally print with solvent ink, so you get the photo quality results of digital with the strength and durability of old-style screen printing. I'm sure glad I sold thebumpersticker.com to Rick back when. He's made a hell of a great company out of it. And there are thousands of satisfied customers who agree with me, too. Let thebumpersticker.com help you get the word out. That's thebumpersticker.com at thebumpersticker.com. Hey, y'all, guess what? You can now order transcripts of any interview I've done for the incredibly reasonable price of $2.50 each. Listen, finding a good transcriptionist is near impossible, but I've got one now. Just go to scotthorton.org/transcripts, enter the name and date of the interview you want written up, click the PayPal button, and I'll have it in your email in 72 hours max. You don't need a PayPal account to do this. Man, I'm really going to have to learn how to talk more good. That's scotthorton.org/transcripts. Hey, y'all, Scott here for Samurai Tech Academy at MasterSamuraiTech.com. Modern appliance repair requires true technicians who can troubleshoot their high-tech electronics. If you're young and looking to make some real money, or you've been at it a while and just need to keep your skills up to date, Samurai Tech Academy teaches it all. And they'll also show you the business, how to own and run your own. Take a free sample course to see how easily you can learn appliance repair from MasterSamuraiTech.com. Use coupon code Scott Horton for 10% off any course or set of courses at MasterSamuraiTech.com.